I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify. It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jones, Bowden, he's got it! England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins!
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match.
Hello, welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket, and my first sort of point today, Simon, is if we ever have a remake of this summer, Tom Cruise has got to play the lead because England keep achieving the impossible. So this is the summer of Mission Impossible, right?
Yeah. I can't believe the situation England are in at the close of play. I mean, when you consider where they were at the start, India 257 for three effectively, plenty of power to add, pitch a little bit up and down. Even the England players, Sam Billings and Johnny Bairstow, were talking about it in post-day and pre-day interviews. And suddenly England need another 119 to win with seven wickets in hand. And you'd think they'd have to be clear favourites. It's not done yet, but they'll absolutely kick themselves if they don't win the match from here. I mean, a dramatic, almost astonishing turnaround, really. Seven for 120, 259 for three. I didn't think it's possible. I thought India had this game in their pockets.
No, I totally agree. And of course, continuing the Cruise theme, Johnny Bairstow's got to be Top Gun, hasn't he? And do you know, actually, Tom Cruise, it's not such a stupid suggestion. Tom Cruise actually has seen cricket and knows about it a bit, because Sam Mendes once told me that when he was making a film in Australia, he invited Tom Cruise, who was also out there filming, to a game. And he came down to the MCG to a one-day international and was really impressed. So, Tom Cruise has had his interest in cricket, and Joe Root's got the kind of the boyish looks of Tom Cruise even at 60. So there's all sorts of opportunities for him in the future. But I mean, fantastic batting by Root and Bairstow as they came together. Nasser Hussain said on commentary, the white rose against India, and it was, and they came out on top. Of course, it doesn't necessarily mean they are going to win the game, but the crick-viz, win-viz, the percentage point thing has gone from 20% England win to about 80%.
I'm not surprised. I think it was the comfort with which they were batting in that sort of last hour, which just suggests that surely they're going to win the game. I spoke to Alex Lees afterwards, and he's, I said, you must be clear favourites now. And sometimes players say, well, it's going to be quite tricky in the morning, see what happens, new day and all that sort of thing. They're quite cautious. And he said, yeah, I think we are, yeah. So there's a sort of confidence in the dressing room. I remember the New Zealand game at Headingley when they wanted 113 to win and they had eight wickets left. And you just thought, yeah, they'll knock these off. And there's a similar sort of feeling about this. But there are sort of some hurdles to come. Bumrah, Shami in the morning, whatever. But it feels as though England just got India now where they want them. After 3 days of Indian control, England are inside a victory. And the other thing to underline as well, you say, oh, well, it looks quite straightforward. This would be the biggest chase in England Test history. I mean, 378, they've never done it before. Previously, it was Headingley 2019. If they do get there, it'll be the highest run chase. And I was actually thinking, as that partnership was developing, so more like when it was in the one, when England were in about the 170s, 180s for three, I was thinking, if England win this game, this is one of their sort of, this would be one of their great Test victories. I don't just mean recently, I mean in their history. You know, biggest run chase, but also the position they are in, sort of degree of difficulty, to come back and win this game, just absolutely a remarkable day's play. I have to say, though, I thought India sort of just opened the door a bit. They frittered their advantage away. I didn't think they batted particularly well today.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And it's happened a few times this summer, hasn't it? I think New Zealand did that a few times as well. In fact, I think I mentioned this the other day. I asked Daryl Mitchell, the New Zealander who played so well in that three Test series, why the lower order didn't hang around more for him. And he said, well, they figured that actually if they played a few shots, they'd get more runs than if they prodded and poked and nicked off. So that's the strategy. And it seemed a little bit like that for India today. The pitch actually has played its intriguing part, hasn't it? Because, you know, yesterday there were some pretty seriously difficult deliveries bowled, not least the one to Virat Kohli from Ben Stokes, which dismissed him, unplayable, took off and took the shoulder of the bat. Well, we haven't seen much of that today. We've seen the odd ball keep low and the odd one bounce, but not excessively. And the pitch almost seems to have flattened out. And it's funny, if you look back at the history of run chases at Edgbaston, I think the highest run chase was in the 280s, Graham Smith in 2008.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember that game where the pitch actually got better and better. I think Smith got about 160, actually. And the pitch gradually got, it was Michael Vaughan's last test in charge. And then before that, in fact, there was that amazing match in 2005 where Australia nearly chased the 279 to win. So it's almost as if the pitch doesn't deteriorate quite as much as people expect it to.
Yeah, I remember that Graham Smith innings in 2008. It was one of the best Test innings I've ever seen. And I think there was a moment where I think when Monty might have had him out, if there'd been DRS, he might have detected a glove on the review system. But apart from that, it was a wonderful innings from Graham Smith. It looked unlikely, but you're right. I mean, they managed to win relatively comfortably in the end. And this pitch is a bit of a puzzle because you know it has been a bit up and down throughout. Balls have kept low and balls have bounced, but not much. I mean, when the heavy roller came on between innings, you know, you normally get a bit of benefit from that as a batting team, and it flattens out and then it starts to play one or two tricks. I mean, there were a few balls that jagged and a few balls that bounced, but they didn't take wickets. But you know, towards the close, it was so comfortable. I wonder whether you think there is one element here that, you know, this is a one-off Test match for India. Do they have their sort of Test match bowling legs? You know, in the second innings, you know, playing a lot of four-over cricket, if you like, for the bowlers in T20, and not subtly, but you know, you're into a one-off Test match and you've got to go deep. You know, you're bowling for 30 overs, whatever, in the game, and it's not easy. Perhaps you just lack a bit of zip, a bit of zest, and it felt like that for India. You know, once Root and Bairstow had put together 40 or 50, it did just seem to go a bit flat for India. But having said that, Root's in great form, Bairstow's in great form, and that can make the difference as well.
Yeah, it does make the difference. I think you're right. I think probably they were perhaps just a bit short of a gallop because of the fact they played so much short form cricket, and it takes you a little while to get the strength and stamina in your legs and your body generally to sustain that speed of, you know, 87, 88 miles. And I think actually Bumrah kept it up, but Shami maybe dropped off slightly.
Yeah.
I just have to hand it to the batsman, though. I think the skill and the judgment that both Bairstow and Root showed in that partnership, you know, which ones to sweep from Jadeja bowling over the wicket into the rough, which ones to kick away, which ones to just ease into the offside. Very good that both players, particularly Root, really worth examining his expertise against spin. I think Virat Kohli has said he's the best in the world against spin. And the way he opens up the offside when Jadeja's bowling over the wicket, so he almost slightly opens the face of the bat and plays in an almost circular motion to try and scythe the ball through the offside rather than being tempted to hit against the spin on the leg side. And the way they place the ball into gaps for singles towards the end, picking up runs, I think Root is one of the lowest number of percentage dot balls in Test history, along with Bradman, I think I heard, actually, that the least number of dot balls or in percentage terms that a batsman faces. But, you know, Root's so good at just dabbing it into the offside or working it into the leg side. That really frustrates the bowlers. Then they've got to deal with a batsman who plays a totally different way in Bairstow. Bairstow taking on the hook and collaring it over deep mid-wicket, quite a big boundary a couple of times or once, and just looking almost flawless. Credit to Alex Lees and Zach Crawley for setting them on the right path, but it was when the going got tough, when those bowlers were desperately seeking wickets and Jadeja was trying to restrict them from over the wicket, that's when their expertise and temperament really came through.
Yeah, it was a brilliant partnership between Root and Bairstow. And it wasn't, you know, this cliched or so-called Baz ball. It was proper Test match cricket. They had to dig in. They had to work it around. And for a while, actually, against Jadeja, although they were trying to manoeuvre it, you know, they were quite static and they were almost like scoring at one end. And then it was almost as if Root decided, I've seen enough of Jadeja now, a change of tactics. And he got down on one knee and sort of lapped the ball over his left shoulder. And then he played the shot again and a couple of boundaries came and suddenly the pressure seemed to be off and Jadeja was taken off then. The runs were coming and he couldn't control it. And Root won the battle with a change of tactics. That was a masterful piece of batting from Root, and Bairstow bided his time as well. And it was a bit like the first innings. He didn't score particularly freely, but now he's 72 not out of 87 balls. You know, they have just started to score freely. Just on the Lees and Crawley partnership, it was the. I mean, this is another remarkable statistic, really. Lees and Crawley put together the fastest opening century partnership in England Test history in under 20 overs. An astonishing effort from them, and Lees was, I mean, Lees, he slightly reminded me of Marcus Trescothick a bit there at the crease, hitting the ball really crisply and dominating at the start, taking it on. He actually ran down the pitch early on, hacked one over deep mid wicket. He said, "I've actually feel as if I've been playing, you know, quite nicely and quite fluently all summer." But this looked like a slightly different Alex Lees in this innings, and Zach Crawley, good judgment as well, I thought. Until, of course, it's sort of perverse, isn't it? That one of the things we talked about Zach Crawley is that, you know, playing at balls, perhaps he should leave. And of course, tonight he left the ball he should have played at, because one nip back from Jasprit Bumrah and it castled him for 46. But brilliant opening partnership. It did get England going, I think. I mean, of course, the Root and Bairstow partnership was fantastic, 150. But that century stand, I think, gave England the belief, a bit like Sehwag's opening assault in that Chennai Test match when India chased 387 against England way back when. It gave India belief there as well, and they were able to capitalise on that. So yeah, I think absolutely vital, that Lees and Crawley partnership.
I know. I mean, just to say that Alex Lees is a man reborn, isn't he, from the West Indies, where he looked tentative and scared to play a shot, and now he's looking fluent. And I think, you know, Marcus Trescothick is quite a good comparison. If you look at his T20 record, his strike rate is 120, and he's made, you know, 1400 runs in T20 cricket. So he can do it. He can play shots, and he showed that early in the Jadeja spell, when he reverse swept him. He first came down the wicket and drilled him back past him and then reverse swept him. So it just shows he has got the shots. He just needed the confidence to know that he could use them.
Yeah. Yeah, the game was in the balance, though, when he was run out. It was Joe Root's fault. He called him through. And the problem for Lees is that he was looking to hit through the offside, got inside edge, didn't know where the ball had gone. So was sort of thinking, you know, about that. Hadn't turned around to see where the ball was, and Root sort of very quick called him through. I mean, there was never a run there, and I'm sure Joe Root would have recognised that. And then Root avoiding Alex Lees for the rest of the day by staying out in the middle. It does take a strong mind, doesn't it, to run someone out, especially someone like Alex Lees in the infancy of his Test career. You know, it was a really important innings for him, going well, 56, then sort of snuffed him out. It does take a strong mind then, right, OK, I've got to take on, I've got to score his runs, I've got to score my runs, I can really take responsibility. And it was a flawless innings from Root. Lee's after was saying, well, you know, these things happen, and in cricket it's one of those things. I've probably done it myself. And he didn't had a chance to speak to Joe Root about it. I mean, you must have been in dressing rooms when players have run out, and I mean, sometimes people take it quite well, sometimes people take it very badly. Did you run people out?
There were two. Yeah, I mean, definitely. It was if either Mark Ramprakash or Dean Jones, both of whom I played with, were run out. It was time to exit the dressing room or get under the dressing room table, because quite often their bat arrived before they did. And there was no knowing quite where the bat would end up. Do you remember that time Matt Prior, I can't remember if he was run out or not, but he was certainly out in unfortunate circumstances. He came into the Lord's dressing room and hurled his bat down, and it went through the window.
Yeah,
the
I do.
Pavilion dressing room, and the glass showered on the members before. Yeah. So it does. It's infuriating when it happens. But, I mean, Root has very rarely made an error like that. And the certainty with which he plays... It's mesmerising to watch. You know, these guys are bowling fast, and they're bowling incredibly good balls, and he's got the time not just to line it up, but almost to work it into a gap. And then if he doesn't quite get it into a gap, he sort of curses himself. And most of us would be happy just keeping those balls out of your stumps, never mind finding a way to score runs off them.
Well, he's in very good form as well. It was a stunning innings. I mean, you can't talk highly enough of the innings that were played today by Root and Bairstow, because it's the degree of difficulty, the pressure of the chase. You know, three wickets going down for two runs. You know, I think the crowd started to believe Century Partnership, Lees and Crawley, and you thought, yeah, there's an opportunity here for England to win the game and do something incredible. Use three quick wickets. Well, that's it. That's just about it. It has to be Root and Bairstow, and they sensed that as well. They put together. I think those 30 or 40 runs are just worth studying for the sort of the quality, the control, the discipline. As I mentioned earlier, it wasn't, you know, this ultra aggressive approach. It was high quality Test match batting under pressure, difficult situation. It was the game or not, basically. If I think one of them had got out at that point, can't see England chasing the 378 they need to win. But by the end, it was total dominance. You look at the Indian bowling figures. I mean, Bumrah went at 4 and over, Shami 4 and over, Jadeja 3.5, Siraj 6.4, Taka 4.7. And the thing is, that's the point. It wasn't as if you sort of felt that England were whacking it, slogging it, taking it on. It was just controlled, fluent batting, putting away the bad balls, ticking the board over, and they had no answer. India, they just could not control the run rate, and I think they will regret some of their sloppy batting early. I think Pujara hit a long hop, didn't he, to backward point off broad. Rishabh Pant, that stroke, that reverse sweep that ended up with Root, and then Stokes sort of bouncing out the tail. They actually went a bit meekly at the end. They succumbed to the short ball in the way that actually they didn't succumb in the first innings. You know, in the first innings, the ball was disappearing, wasn't it?
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Do you think England at all get any confidence, self-belief from the experience of playing India in the World Cup and in 2019, where they came to Edgbaston, same ground as they're at now, knowing they had to win the last three games, certainly having to beat India to progress in the tournament. And they managed to exorcise their worries, their fears, by admitting they were worried to each other. And I remember Bairstow coming out that morning when England batted first and just blitzing the Indian spinners, especially. And he made 100, didn't he, in that one day international. And England were back on course. And actually, there's a nice quote in our documentary about the World Cup win, in which Bairstow talks about that game and about the voicing of fears, the airing of their worries to each other, and how it gave them extra resilience. And that's the word he uses for himself throughout his life. He's had to show an extraordinary amount of resilience. And, you know, obviously it resulted in a fantastic performance against India in the World Cup, and another one today. And it's almost as if they're spinning off that rejuvenation of the one day side and using and utilising some of the mantras, the philosophies of that team to scale the greater heights in Test cricket.
Yeah, well, Bairstow is sort of taking his one day, not form approach. It's not quite like that. It's sort of perhaps mindset into Test match cricket, isn't he? And he's played in that ultra aggressive way all summer, and he's played his way into just fantastic form. I mean, you're thinking when he came out, you can't score 400. That's just not, you know, the run's got to end sooner rather than later. But, you know, he's 72 not out. He's got another opportunity. I just think Root's just in great form, and he's just such an accomplished, confident Test match batter. It probably all helps, doesn't it? That experience, that of playing those in that way in the white ball team, it probably filters through a bit into the Test match team. They've been given license to be and express themselves by Brendan McCullum, encouraged to do so. And it you're sort of in that sort of moment of your life almost. You know, this is sort of just perfect. You know, when you look back, you think, yeah, the summer of 2022, that this was it. This was the zenith, if you like. And I think Bairstow's feeling that at the moment. And Joe Root's had it for a while, actually, hasn't it? And
yeah,
it's hard to see them messing it up from here, but we shouldn't get ahead of ourselves. It's still 378 and it's still 119 more to win. And if India were to pick up two quick wickets in the morning, then suddenly it's a very, very different game.
Very true. Very like the Sunday of Edgbaston in 2005, where they needed 80 to win. Suddenly the last couple of wickets, two or three wickets, got them closer and closer. But the closer they got, the more nervous they became. And, of course, they failed in the end. One other thing about Root that is interesting. Do you remember when we had Alistair Cook on our virtual club? And we did a quiz with him. And one of the questions I think I asked was, which member of the England team is getting closest to breaking your 5K record on the treadmill, or, you know, or on the round the streets or whatever? And he couldn't get the answer. And do you remember the answer?
Presumably it was Joe Root, was it?
It was Joe Root. Mm. And, you know, actually his fitness has come through, not necessarily, although it's not easy keeping up with Johnny Bairstow between the wickets, but that's part of it. But the physical fitness allows the mental fitness, which is what he needs to keep concentrating through all these nerve-wracking situations. And obviously, you know, the defining moment of the summer really was that 100 he made at Lord's when England were coming, you know, that was their first game in under the Baz Ben Rob show, if you like. And that was a kind of key, very calm, composed victory pursuit engineered by Root. And ever since then, England have taken all before them, haven't they? So now question is, can they do Mission Impossible and rewrite history?
Yeah, well, they've been in so many tight situations this summer. And in fact, in every game they've played this summer, they've been behind. And you look at the situation, they've been thinking, you can't win from here. And they've done it in three previous test matches. And I thought this morning, you can't win from here. Not if India are ruthless enough. They weren't quite ruthless enough today with their batting. And it's opened the way for England. But I still should emphasise, it's 378 to win. They've never done this before. But they are on the verge of something quite special. Two people we haven't really talked much about, Yoz, and I think we should before we go. One is Ben Stokes, who actually produced something special with the ball today. Took 4 for 33. He was the one that sort of got it going. Didn't take the new ball when he could have done towards the end, and he bounced out India's lower order, and he got rid of Jadeja as well, getting him to play on. Got rid of Kohli yesterday, Mohammad Shami and Jasprit Bumrah today. So he's one, and Zach Crawley. We sort of touched on Zach Crawley, but 46 today, and that is as well as he's played for a while for England. Actually, it's probably as well as he's played since Sydney. And it was sort of I felt for him actually when he was out, because he deserved to keep on going. It was a good ball from Bumrah, nice piece of bowling, and good captaincy as well, coming back just before tea for a burst, and thought, can I do something? Can I affect the game? And he did, and Crawley leaving it and the ball cannoning into his off stump. But what I thought was good about Crawley today is he didn't go for those big drives early on. It's something we've talked about, isn't he? He actually let those balls go outside the off stump, but as perverse that the ball, one ball he did let go was the one that just nipped back and bowled him off stump.
Yeah, he's clearly, the message is getting through. And I wonder if just the belief of the management and actually just taking some good catches as well. He took a couple, he certainly took one good boundary catch. That just gives him a bit more confidence. And I don't know, seeing the way Alex Lees has played, he can spin off that. Look, he's quality. He's a class player. And, he just needs a... He needs the backing of the management, and he needs to just be a bit more selective.
Well, he's certainly got that.
Yeah, he's obviously got that, and he just needs to be a bit more selective. And perhaps today was the day the penny dropped. So it's interesting now, isn't it? Of this 11, with Billings as a 12th, I suppose, everybody has contributed now in the last three or four matches. There's no, they're not carrying a passenger at all. I mean, Jack Leach has taken a 10 fur, and Matthew Potts has delivered. Broad and Anderson obviously have taken wickets. But the wicketkeeper batsmen, Billings and Folks, have both performed. And at last, Crawley's actually not quite made a 50, but at least he's got close. So really, it's become a total team effort, with Stokes getting his four wickets today. So, onwards and upwards.
It would look like that, wouldn't it? It would seem like that. And this would be perhaps the we keep saying it, we're almost running out of superlatives. This would probably be the best win of the lot, because I think you feel that India are grade up from New Zealand, but England totally tamed them today in a way that, I was walking out the ground at the end, I overheard someone say, "Oh, that was just an amazing day's Test cricket." Not if you're an India supporter, I don't think. India thoroughly outplayed today. I actually saw Rahul Dravid this morning for the first time for a while, because he worked with us on Test Match Special. "Hello, Rahul, how are you doing?" And congratulations on the job of coach. And he said, "Thank you." And I said, "Well, it's going well here." And he looked at me as if to say, "Well, don't you can't sort of count any chickens. The game can come round and sort of kick you in the nuts, if you like." And it has a bit today for India today. But they've just got that sliver of hope tomorrow, especially they can pick up a couple of early wickets. I think we should leave it there, Yoz, on it's a sort of tantalising day. Not done yet, but a remarkable day for England.
And there's only one piece of music we can really leave you with tonight.
Podcast Network. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.